Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We are honored tonight to have the missionary Margallanes. I probably butchered that. I've been practicing. But the missionary family Margallanes, they are missionaries to Namibia and Angola. And we're glad to have them. They're going to minister to us and with us today. And so we welcome them. Come, and I'll let whoever's taking the mic first. You may be seated, and we're glad to have them. Would you give them a hand clap? Thank them for being with us. Come on.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful presence of God in this place. Thank you, Pastor Foster, First Lady. We appreciate you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to give us to be here. And we are blessed to be part of the family of God. Amen. Everywhere we go, we have a family. That's very, very comforting that you we are part of the same kingdom, the kingdom of God. And Lord called us to work in the mission field, and we are very blessed. We feel privileged. Before then, we used to pastor in California, but the Lord said, that's enough of that. You need to go somewhere else. And we're a Hispanic family, and we were wondering why God didn't send us the other direction, right, to the south, where there's Spanish and different food that we like a lot. But the Lord didn't do that, so we just have to obey His call and go where He calls us. And we've been serving in Africa for 2 years now, and we are deputizing to go back as soon as we finish. And let me tell you, we miss that place. There's a place that there's something about a call of God when He calls you to do something. There's a passion that grows with the call, and I remember we were pastoring, and suddenly we didn't feel the same passion for our church, and we got worried, and what's happening? You know, we questioned the Lord, and then God began to speak to us about the mission field, about Africa, and that's when we were like, oh boy, this is going to be fun, and it was fun leaving everything and going to Africa for the first time. But we just love the place. We love the people. We love everything that God is doing in that place. So I'm going to ask. I feel like doing this. I don't know if you have. Thank you. I'm going to ask my family to come up here. All of us, all of them, and we're going to just give 10 minutes for whatever question you have about the mission field, Namibia, Africa. We've been into Nigeria. We have not been to Angola, so don't ask questions about Angola. We don't know much. We are appointed to go. As soon as we get back, we want to go to Angola, into Angola. But does anybody have any questions for the young people, for the teenagers, for the mom, for the little ones? Nobody has questions? Nigeria, yes. Yes, civil unrest. Right now there is a lot of civil unrest. And when we were there in 2020, it was during the lockdowns, we were there. So we were locked down for 2 months, literally in the house. We couldn't get out because of the civil unrest. When people stopped working, they stopped eating. So we were in danger, I can say. So, yes, there's a lot of civil unrest in Nigeria. Anyone else?
How hard is it to acclimate from coming from the U.S. going overseas?
Okay. How hard is it? Well, you acclimate. We acclimated both, like, the weather. It is so hot that you sweat, like, nonstop. We had a joke that we would say, we sweat through our knees. I mean, you're just places you don't think, and you're just sopping wet most of the time. You walk out and you're just, you know, in sweat. And another thing we used to say is, there's no dignity when it comes to that. You've got the sweat patches under your arms, you know, on your back and everywhere. And so to acclimate to the weather was totally different. It was super hot. And then the food, so we would have to wash our vegetables with vinegar first. Fruits, vegetables would have to soak to make sure, because sometimes they would keep the vegetables in the gutter and in the wet area, like tomatoes, they would put them in the water in the gutter. And so we had to make sure that it was clean. We would not get sick. You can get typhoid there. And so it was totally different. The food was different. And the education. Most people that are kids that were their ages were about 3 years behind in education. And so you have these early 20-year-olds that will still be like teenagers, like 15 years old, you know, just very different. So I think that covered. It's okay.
Any of the young people, sister?
I was just wondering, how did you survive during the lockdown? How did you get food and stuff to survive?
It's a very good question. Well, we tried to stock up with food before, like as much as we could, but 2 months is a long time. And we ran out of food, and we couldn't go out. We couldn't get out of the house. And we would give money to our guard to go on the street and find bread, eggs, sugar, water. And that's how we kept eating, until we found out that about a market that would deliver. And then we called them, and very difficult, by the way, to communicate, because we ordered everything we got half of it right and half of it wrong. So, but that's how we survived, sister. We had a guard at our gate. He would go out and buy stuff, whatever we needed. Well, whatever he could find at the time out there on the streets. Amen.
What tips would you guys give someone that's interested in the missionary field?
So I'm 19, and I'm applying for AIM to go with my family. So, but I would recommend, as a young person who is interested in missions, definitely an AYC trip. You go out there for 10 days, and it's completely safe to go with, you know, these missionaries, that they arrange everything, and safe to go with a bigger group of people. And I don't know, just so you don't step into it completely not knowing what's, you know, about the culture or about, you know, how to get around. And so that's a really safe way of stepping out into the mission field for the first time. And then if you like it there, you can get in contact with other missionaries or that missionary in that country, and you can maybe apply for AIM. AIM is Associate in Missions, which means you can be there from a span of, I think it's 3 months to like a year. So you choose how long you want to be there, and you just help out the missionary, and it's a great way to start working on the field. And if you eventually feel called to be a missionary, you can work up to that from AIM. So.
Amen.
Have you been able to take any language classes, or how do you deal with a language barrier? Or have you had any help? Or
we do. We have not taken classes. When we go back, we're planning to learn Oshikwayama, which is the language the tribe we work with, they speak, and then Portuguese, which is the Angolan language. But every time we go, when we were there, we had an interpreter. Going into villages, preaching, we needed an interpreter. Official language for Namibia is English, but when you work in the rural areas, in the deep in the bush, people don't speak English. So you have to have an interpreter. That's how we did it. Amen. All right. Young people, anything else for the young? then we're done.
When it comes to being in the mission field and having your family with you, is there any challenges you face with having all your kids and everyone there? Do you find it more of like something that you can use to equip within different circumstances?
There is a lot of challenges. You want to speak on that?
I think you always have to look ahead and address certain things that you can face ahead of time. We were talking the other day, Nathan and I was telling him, remember when we walked through one of the streets in Nigeria, we were walking from the school to the missionary's house, and we saw a group of men that were looking at us suspiciously, and I just whispered it to him, and I said, Nathan, if something happens, you run. Run for your life. Run and get help. Don't worry about me. Don't turn around. You run. Go get help. You know, things like that, warning ahead of time. What I do, I mean, some people might disagree, but I try to let my kids know, okay, this is happening. We're going to go to this conference. You need to expect that they're going to feed us this kind of food. You know, any information that I can give them ahead of time, give them heads up, because, I mean, we as adults are nervous about walking into unknown environments and situations. So for them to already be taken out of our environment here and taken to a new place, you know, I try to avoid any surprises as much as possible, and just to try to keep it as much as, I guess, at home, like home. You know, we'll look up recipes on Pinterest to try to, you know, they'll say, man, I miss raising canes. I really wish I could have, okay, let's look up the recipe and, you know, make it like home, a little bit like home. And so we just do our best to do that. That's my part in trying to make it like home for them. And, yeah, that's, I think, is that, does that answer your question? Yeah.
I think that the challenge for me is Father is always just the safety, of course, of the family. And everywhere we go, like from the transition from Nigeria to Namibia was going to from Nigeria into another country. I was already traumatized. I was like, okay, this is gonna be the same. So when we arrived there, I asked all kinds of questions: how's the food? How's the water? Do we need a guard? They told me just get a dog and you'll be safe. So. For some reason, Africans are terrified of dogs. So we had a nice dog, so that nobody came close. So safety, number one, and of course when they get sick, it's a challenge. And every time you have a small problem, it's like the devil tries to make something big out of it. Even though it's such a small, it can be a small problem, but the enemy just amplify that to the max and make you feel like your world is coming down. But more than anything, we just appreciate the prayers of the churches and the love from the churches from here that we receive out there. So, amen. Well, thank you very much. We just want to do thank you. We continue. Krista's gonna. Which keyboard can she use? This one, okay. We have a table right there. Everything there's for sale. Whatever you help us buy from there, it helps us to put gas, eat, and keep going, because that's what we're doing. Traveling a lot and. So whatever you want to buy from the table, talk to Nathan. He's the one in charge. And other ways you can support our ministry is there's a QR code. You can scan it on the table. Get one of our cards. There's a QR code on there. And our project form is here. I'm going to challenge you to help us with this at the end. But let's just worship with Kristen as she sings a song.
This is a song that it's called I Speak Jesus, but I'm going to be singing it partially in a language that they speak in Namibia. It's called Afrikaans. So I ask that you would worship with me as I sing. Amen. Break every stronghold.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Can you just raise your hands and worship Him right now? Oh, yes, I speak Jesus. He is our Savior. He is my Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah. How we love you, Lord. We love the name of Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. Many people question, why do you do what you do? What costs you to move your family, leave the comfort of your home in America and go to a place where, an unknown place? Well, it's the love for the lost. It's a call that only God can put in someone's heart. And I read a story the other day. Bramwell Booth. I don't know if you would recognize that name. But Bramwell Booth was largely responsible for the development of the Salvation Army, which was founded by his father. And one Sunday evening when he was 12 or 13 years old, while walking about London with his father, he had a life-changing experience. The father surprised the son by taking him into a saloon. And the place was crowded with men and women, many of whom were drunk. The atmosphere was one of a crime and vice. The fumes of alcohol and tobacco were poisonous. Smoke filled the thick air and cursing echoed through the space. And the father turned to his son and said, "These are our people. These are the people I want you to live for and bring to Christ." Years later, Bramwell Booth would confess, "The impression never left me. These are our people." So, I want to tell you that when we drive through our towns, when we drive to our cities, going to places, wherever we spend our days, or during the day, our hours, we got to think like this city belongs to us. This place belongs to us. This is our people. And this is the people we are living. And there's something about going into a place where God called you. There's a call. There is a passion that you feel. I remember when we visited, keep it low, please. When we visited Nigeria for the first time, we were traveling to the north with missionary Phelps. And as we took off on our airplane, we could see the slums for miles and miles, hills covered with houses, and they call it the slums. And Brother Phelps just cried, and he said, "This is what moves me. There's something, a call that only God can put in somebody's heart. This is what moves me." And as we enter the villages of Namibia where we minister, we see the people. They're just there waiting for the good news, someone to come and talk to them. For them is a very a big honor, a privilege to have someone from the United States walk into their village and go into their huts, into their place, and have dinner with them. Especially when you are bringing the good news of salvation. There's something about the call of God. Abraham cried for the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And another occasion, Jesus wept for the city of Jerusalem. Whenever Abraham cried for the city of Sodom, he wasn't crying only for the whole city, but there was one person that was there that he was interested in saving and begging and the Lord to have mercy on not to destroy the city because his nephew was in there. And you know, it's almost impossible to think that we can save 8 billion people. It's impossible to think we can save every single person of our city, every single person in this world, in this country. But you know what? Thank God for one that we can reach. If it's once a month, if it's twice, two per month, if it's five a month, I don't know. But it, thank God for that one that receives the gospel and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Be baptized, get baptized in Jesus' name, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for that one. Amen. Not everybody is going to receive the message that we preach, but thank God for that one. And the question remains, what is it? I remember soon after we arrived to Nigeria, we met this young man, and he, Gabriel, I'm going to say the word, but he was a gambler. And he had a problem with gambling, and Gabriel was I tried to help him. I would give him money for him to go eat, and he did work for me, some work in the house, and I gave him money, I paid, and he would come back and ask for more. I go, what are you doing with your money? He says, I have a problem. I have a gambling problem. And I tried to help him, and he would not change. I was giving him Bible studies, and I could have said, who cares about Gabriel? I'm done with you. But you know what? At the end, we baptized Gabriel in Jesus' name. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And there is this attitude that can come over us about that person. Why didn't God save everybody? Why doesn't God reach the whole city? When we went to Nigeria, Nigeria is a country of 200 million people, 200 plus million people. The city of Lagos alone is a city of 22 million people. And there we were locked in for 2 months in that apartment. There was danger all around us. There was tension. There was so much happening in that city that the U.S. Embassy would send us emails warning us not to show our face, not to get out of the house, because there was gangs going through the city at night, and if they know that you live there, they will come because they think you have money. They think you have what they need. So all this was happening, and we are locked in that house, and I told our guard, why don't you come right here close to the door, so we can give you Bible studies. And Innocent came, and we gave him Bible studies. For 2 months, I was giving him Bible studies. Right before we left Nigeria, we baptized Innocent in the name of Jesus, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. We could have said, but Lord, you brought us all the way to Nigeria, and through all this trouble we went to for one person. We baptized many others, but I can say that Innocent was the only person we actually reached. We evangelized. We gave Bible studies to. And when we left, he was already enrolled in Bible school. And he was a good young man. So if that is the only purpose, the only reason God sent us there, it's worth it. Because one soul is worth everything. When we reach that one, we cannot get the attitude of who cares. The Lord told the disciples one time, whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. In other words, who cares about them? Is that what the Lord was saying? There was a reason why Jesus told the disciples, shake off the dust and move on. When Abraham found out that the Lord was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham right away, he went into a pleading mode with the Lord. And he started asking the Lord, why are you doing this? Abraham could have said, you know what? Who cares about my nephew? Who cares about this guy? I gave him the option to go somewhere else long time ago, but he chose the plains of the Jordan. I already tried. But the Lord let Abraham know what he was about to do. And you know what? I'm going to say something. God's concern about Lot was not because of something Lot did. God's concern about Lot was because of his uncle's relationship with him. So, how is your relationship with... Your relationship with God determines... can determine how the Lord is going to reach those around you, those that are related to you, those that are connected to you. How is your relationship with God? If Abraham would have had a bad relationship with God, Lot would have been destroyed with his family. But because the Lord loved Abraham's communication, relationship, he says, you know what, Abraham? I'm about to destroy that city.
And he sent right away. Abraham went into prayer. And he said, Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he began to plead with God and said, if you could find 50 righteous in the city, would you still destroy the city for those 50? And he went to look for the 50, and he couldn't find 50 righteous in the city. Abraham kept negotiating with the Lord, and he brought him down to 40. Can you look for 40? The Lord said, I can't find 40. He brought him down to 30, and then to 20, finally to 10. And the Lord says, there are not 10 righteous people in the city. You know, Abraham could have said, you know, who cares? I'm done with this. I love my nephew. I know he lives in that side of town, but that was his choice a long time ago. He chose to live that lifestyle. It's not my problem. Oh, well, those are his decisions. No, he didn't say that. Instead, Abraham cried out to God and said, Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And that should be the cry of each one of us. Not giving up so easy about those that have turned around from the church and walked away from the gospel. Keep praying, keep begging, keep pounding heaven with your prayers, and the Lord will hear your prayers and He will answer. Because we saw what happened. The Lord finally, he for the love of that one, God sent angels to drag Lot out of that place and then destroy the city with fire. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Praise God. I'm not contradicting the Word of God today. There are situations, special cases, when you have to use wisdom and walk away from certain circumstances. But let me tell you, keep reaching. Keep preaching. Keep trying to reach that one. And don't get to the point of saying, who cares about that person? We have a story in Luke 15, verse 8. About this lady that had 10 silver coins, and the Bible says that she lost one, and she began to look for that one. But I wonder, the thought crossed her mind of saying, you know what, I got 9 coins. I used to have 10, but now I have 9. I have 90% of what I used to have. I can do a whole lot with 90%. Who cares about that one that is lost? Who cares about that one? It's so much trouble. To just turn the house upside down, pull the couches out, the fridge, the stove, try to find that one coin. I'm just going to leave it alone. I just lost 10% and I have 90%. Who cares? But you know, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. It doesn't matter how much effort, how much energy it takes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to look for that one, because that one is worth something. Amen. And the Bible says that when she found it, she lit up the lamp and began to turn. She lit up the lamp and began to turn the house upside down and until she found it. And when she found it, she went and called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. So there is, Bible says that, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So that one means something to God. That one matters. That one is important in the eyes of the Lord. Church, we are in the soul winning business, and we must have the same approach for every person we run into, every family member, every friend, every person that we run into. When we arrived in Namibia a few months later, I called Brother Tobias. Brother Tobias is he attended Bible school years before, and they gave me his phone number. So I called him, and he said, you know what, Pastor, today, it was a Friday morning, and I called him. He said, today I stayed home praying and fasting because I'm looking for answers. I don't know what to do, because every church I go to, there is something, I know there's something missing in those places. And he says, I don't know what it is, so I need answers. I don't know what to do. I said, what kind of can I meet you? I went to his house. I met him that same day. And he told me the story. He says, I used to go to this church, and the pastor made me stand in front of the whole congregation, and he accused me of being a witch. He told me, stand up. Every time you come to church, Tobias, I can't prophesy. And he says, the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost 3 years ago. And when I go to church, I speak in tongues and I pray in the Holy Ghost. And when they let me preach, I preach with passion. I preach repentance. And he told me all this. And I said, you know what? Your spirit doesn't match with that pastor's spirit. He says, I don't know what it is. And he says, the problem is that my wife believed this man that I'm a witch. We left home and she was fighting with me because she couldn't believe she was married to a witch for so many years. She says, the next morning I woke up drowning in oil because she was pouring the oil in my head trying to get the devil out of me. It's a funny story, but it's a true story. And I said, Brother Tobias, how were you baptized? He says, I was baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, well, we have a problem. I have good news and bad news for you. The bad news is that your baptism is not what the Bible says. It's not biblical. The good news is that we can fix it in 10, 15 minutes if you're ready. I gave him a short Bible study. I told him, open your Bible to Matthew 28:19. I explained to him the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. All three of them is one. His name is Jesus. Then I told him, open your Bible to Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. This man was sitting in front of me when he read that scripture, Pastor. He jumped from that chair and he screamed. And he said, I see it. It's in the name of Jesus. This is what they're missing out there. This is what I've been looking for all my life. And now when I stay home praying and fasting, you called me and you came to give me the answers I was looking for. I go, praise God. And then he said, when can you baptize me? I go, as soon as you're ready. So we baptized him and his wife soon after that. And then we baptized his mom. His mom was a pastor, is a pastor. I didn't know. And then we baptized the whole church. Everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. That church keeps giving. Last Sunday, they baptized 10 in that same church, and two of them received the Holy Ghost. The Lord is saving not just one, but many at a time, because that is our job. Hallelujah. To go and reach those people. The problem in Namibia is that we don't have water, so we carry with buckets and big gallons and roll them on the floor for miles to bring them. We have one small church in one village way out there, deep in the bush, and that's where we go visit and then we go to different villages, different places to teach and preach the Word of God. And under the trees, wherever we go, the Lord is doing something great. Someone receives the Holy Ghost every time we go. And then we bought an inflatable pool and we took it out there under the trees and just pour water in it and baptize souls in Jesus' name. Because that's what God called us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we have the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and there was one little sheep who wouldn't pay attention, who wouldn't listen to anything, and he was always out in the silence. And when he was supposed to, away from where he was supposed to be with all the rest of the little sheep, and he wasn't there when the shepherd would come and bring them all together. That one was always out there, and he was not there. He was out there doing what he shouldn't have done. And I would imagine the shepherd must have thought, you know what, I'm tired of this little sheep. I'm tired of this one. I can't imagine always looking for you, always looking for it, because it runs away. Who cares about it? I'm going to just let it go. Who cares? I'm tired of it. But you know what? That's not what he did. What happens to that sheep? I don't care. I have so many others. I have 99. I don't need that one. It's causing me so much trouble. But the Bible says that he didn't do that. He left the 99 and went looking for that lost one. Every time he left the 99 and he went looking for that one. So I remember when I was pastoring, I had a family in my church. And this family, there was always something coming up because of them. And one time I've had enough. I told my wife, that's it. I'm done.
we had a meeting. We arranged a meeting at the church, and we were driving to that meeting. I was furious, and I told my wife on the way, I'm going to tell him to leave. I'm going to tell him to leave. Who cares? When I got there, it's like the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I opened my mouth to start rebuking them. And words came out of me that I was not expecting. It's like I started complimenting them for how wonderful they are. Wonderful people, you guys are pillars of this church. We need you so much. Everything you do is so amazing. When we left that meeting, I was like, what happened? What happened? Sometimes it's not just us. It's God reaching. And most of us, of course, it's God, right? But God is, He cares about every single soul, every person. Who knows what those people would have done? Maybe they would have just left and never go to church again. But today, they're still serving the Lord in that same church. Praise God. Amen. So, what I'm saying today is God cares. God cares for that one. God cares. So, we've heard from many people that tell us, why do you have to leave? Why are you going to do that? There are many souls here in the States. Why do you have to go so far? Especially our parents, my wife's parents, my own parents. It takes a lot of, it doesn't make sense to do these things, but because the Lord cares, He is reaching for every soul. So I'm going to ask you today, help us pray. Help us pray for Africa and Angola. For Namibia and Angola, for Africa in general, but Namibia and Angola, those are countries. Now, Angola does not have a missionary today. We have a regional missionary from Brazil. I take that back. We do have a missionary from Brazil, but not. We don't have a missionary from this country, from the States. So we will be the first missionaries going in Angola. So I ask you for your prayers. If you invest, if you give something to help that country today, it will be the first funds going to save souls in that place. So I don't want to take too long. Can we play the video now? We want to share with you the video.
Situation of our lives.
Take you into the village. God cares. Amen. A boy was at the beach throwing starfish back in the sea. And a man came by and asked him, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "The sun is going up and the tide is going down. If I don't put him back in the water, they're going to die." And the man said, "But do you realize that there are thousands of starfish along the beach? How can you make a difference?" The boy picked another starfish and threw it in the water. And he said, it made a difference for that one. And then he picked up another one, he threw it in the water, and said, it made a difference for that one. So, what I'm saying here today is, if we reach one, it makes a difference for that one. It made a difference for Brother Tobias. It made a difference for Sister Rosalia, his mom. It made a difference for Innocent in Nigeria. It made a difference. I can name many, many tonight, give testimonies of the different people we've reached and the way they came to the Lord about out there. But the point is, you can make a difference today. Amen. You can make a difference. So we have starfish. Bring it to me, Elijah. And if you would like to help us with one of our projects, they're on this side. See the bag over there. You can take one of these home today. If you can give $100 for one of our projects, you can make a difference for that one. Take them out. Show them. Can somebody say, I want to make a difference for this one? Amen. This is a little quote on it. It says, I'm making a difference for this one. It was good to squeeze it. Anybody would say, and I'm not going to pick up an offering. I'm going to let the pastor come up here and do the rest. I want to thank you for the opportunity for us to come here and share our burden. Keep us in your prayers. Partner with us and help us to go back as soon as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for coming tonight. The whole family, you guys are, first of all, I want to say to, it's JC. You go by JC, right? And Darlene and Mom and Dad, well done. Well done. The kids may be good actors, but the fact of the matter is I believe they want to be with you, and they're serving with you, and the fact that your family follows you, and you have, the scripture that came to mind was Abraham leaving what's familiar and start walking, and you know, going into Africa and some of those nations and places. I know, as you mentioned, as a father, I can only imagine having to care for my... I have been to places that weren't always safe, but I didn't have my family with me. And so well done, Mom and Dad, and thank you for leading your children in the right way. And you guys are, I hold you in high esteem tonight. And I think that anybody who accepts the call to go, whether it's overseas or whether it's to go next door, I you are my heroes, and so I thank you for that. So they are raising money for their offering or their projects. They have several projects, and if you would like to give to that, they can do this individually, right, Shayna, for the project. Will they get credit from the headquarters? They will. We're running into some issues with individuals doing PIMs headquarters contacted us and said that any individual that supports a missionary, they no longer get credit. So they want individual people to go through the church to sponsor a missionary. So, but project offering, if you would like to support their project, anybody that gives a minimum of $100, you get a $100 star. You get a squeeze. Now, that if you're going to do that, we're going to make it easy for you. So if you want to get a star and you want to give a minimum of $100, I will let you give over there. You will fill out one of these forms. They have several projects that they're raising money for. You can, if you want to give a minimum of $100, you can go over there and grab a green form. For those who do not have and you just want to give an offering, it won't be $100. We're going to take up an offering tonight. If we'll grab a couple of baskets, you'll have the opportunity to give. Unfortunately, we don't. You can give electronically just to missions if you'd like to do that. We don't have a special account set up for them. But if you want to, if you're an electronic giver and you just want to give to missions, and if you give to missions electronically and you say, hey, I'm going to give $100, come see me, and we'll make sure your name gets filled out. We'll fill out one of these forms if you're going to give tonight electronically to missions. And then, you know, we'll figure it out. I know it sounds a little convoluted, and it kind of is, but we're going to do our best to try to make sure we bless them, give to their project, and then you are also recognized. Aren't you glad for people who accept the call? I am. I'm so glad. I appreciate you coming tonight. Let's come, gentlemen, and we'll lay the baskets up here. So we have all kinds of options. You can give in the basket. You can give electronically. If you decide, hey, I'm going to give $100 or more, come see us, myself or a missionary, Magdalenas, and you can fill out one of these. And you can get a star. If you don't care about filling out one of these and you're just going to give $100, you can still get a star, right? If you don't want credit, that's fine too. Jesus, we love you today. What I'd like for us to do as we pray, we're going to pray for the family. Lift them up in your prayers. But I want you to also receive the word tonight. What is God calling you to do, right? Every one of us should be on some type of mission. Again, it could be your workplace, your neighborhood, but every one of us is responsible for this call, all of us. Father, we love you today, and we stand in awe of you. You are the faithful one. You are good, Lord. You are good, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the word today, and we thank you, God, for this precious family, Lord, that has accepted the call of God. And I pray covering over them and safety and blessing. Open doors, Lord. Divine favor that only you can give. Lord, bless materially. Bless them physically in health. And God, I'm asking you to just let us receive your call and your word and the importance of responding, Lord, to this last hour of this thrust, Lord, of evangelism and the call, God, to be in the harvest field. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you don't have the $100, just give what you can give tonight so that we can bless this family. God bless you. Be dismissed. Please greet them. If you want to sing something, sis, with your beautiful voice, wasn't that wonderful? Man. Wow, that's awesome. That was just great. That was great. Bless us in closing with something that maybe you would have. God bless you. Greet one another.